I have been asking myself recently, Lord, am I complaining or just telling you the way things are? I've been wondering about it. Anyway, well, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts today and glorify his name. Amen. I'm entitling this message, The Children of Promise. I actually preached this message a few weeks ago in my home church, but I feel a certain urgency to declare a few things that are needful for our present generation. The Joshua generation, as Brother Norm would have it. The promises that were given to Abraham were passed down to succeeding generations and finally transmitted to the church, but still conditioned on one primary act. All of the promises that were given to Abraham were premised on the covenant of circumcision. To the Old Testament, it was a physical thing. To the New Testament, it is a spiritual thing. Now, after crossing Jordan into the Promised Land, Israel established a base camp at Gilgal. I think most of you understand the significance of crossing the Jordan. However, I want to focus just for a moment on the significance of Gilgal, because Gilgal remained the base camp during the whole crusade into the Holy Land, and of course, they kept returning back to Gilgal. Crossing Jordan was significant or symbolic of the crucified life. The old life was now behind them. But now there was another procedure that they had to exercise or yield to before they could proceed. Had they just crossed Jordan and just stopped there, they never would have inherited the Promised Land unless something was fulfilled here. And we find this in Joshua chapter 5 and verses 2 through 7. We're not going to look at that. But we're looking at a 40-year generation that had never been circumcised. All of those who had come out of Egypt during the 40 years had never been circumcised, this younger generation. And actually, this is what took place here at Gilgal, this ritual of circumcision. But we live in a similar generation today. We live in a generation of Christendom that has never experienced the knife of God's word, the cutting away of the flesh, the old nature. And circumcision is something that goes on through life. They kept returning to the base camp here, many returns to Gilgal. The promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham and his seed, was conditioned upon the covenant of circumcision. Now let's look at Genesis 17 for a minute. Genesis 17, 13, the Lord is speaking to Abraham. It says, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Verse 14, and the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, he hath broken my covenant. So this present 40-year generation could not really inherit the promised land until this ritual was fulfilled. And of course, we want to see the spiritual significance. Amen. To the Old Testament, it was physical. To the New Testament, it's spiritual. How serious was this covenant of circumcision? Well, let's consider Moses for a minute, because Moses was probably the closest person to Christ in the Old Testament, and you see in the book of Revelation where they're singing, these are the overcomers, they're singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. And it was Moses who was on the Mount of Transfiguration strengthening Christ for his decease that he was going to have to suffer there in Jerusalem, very close to Christ. And yet we see the Lord prepared to slay Moses because his own son was uncircumcised. And here's the preacher who wasn't going to practice what he was preaching. And so looking into Exodus for a minute, I mean, this is the seriousness of the whole thing. God is prepared to slay his man, the one who's coming in to deliver God's people. And in Exodus 24, it begins, "And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, 'Surely a bloody husband art thou to me.' So he let him go, and then she said, 'A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision.'" I don't mean to get real graphic here, but in this narrative, Moses is returning to Egypt as God's deliverer, and the Lord seeks to slay this man because Moses is going to be the minister of circumcision. He's going to introduce the law to God's people. Essentially, circumcision is the keeping of the law, but here's the preacher who is not preaching or is not practicing what he preaches. Much could be said that, but it was Moses' wife that actually saved Moses in this situation. The covenant of circumcision goes back to Abraham, but Moses was to reemphasize this to this present generation and actually puts it into Holy Writ in Leviticus 12, puts it into the Holy Scripture. But Jesus makes reference to this also in John 7, in John 7, 22. This is Christ speaking, and it says, "Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers." I mean, this ritual of circumcision was given to Abraham, but Moses was to teach it to the present generation. But this account in Exodus 4 tells us how serious the whole thing was, because all of the promises given to Abraham were conditioned on this ritual of circumcision. And even after they crossed the Jordan, here's a whole generation, the Moses generation, as Brother Norm would say. Here's a whole generation that was uncircumcised. And so they had to experience this before they could proceed, before they could go on from there. And of course, spiritually, it speaks of cutting away of the old nature, the nature we were born with, being circumcised in heart and spirit, having God's law transcribed upon the heart. Much emphasis upon this in the New Testament. I mean, I'm sure that we have all experienced at times the knife, like this morning, cutting at certain things. I remember a time in my life when I was struggling with something for a long time. I was seeking God. It wasn't something that was sinful. It was just something that I liked to do that I couldn't coexist with. So I struggled with it for a long time. And finally I said, "Okay, Lord." And so there was the cutting away, and that thing rolled away. Actually, that's what Gilgal mean. That thing rolled away, and that was it, and that was to this day. But there are certain things that we just can't coexist with. I mean, they might not be wrong, but they're too possessive in our life. And so we have to say goodbye. Amen. Let's consider another case scenario here. Here we have Abraham and Lot traveling together, and Lot is very prosperous. His group, the ones who were part of the Lot clan, very prosperous as they journeyed with Abraham. But Lot did not share Abraham's vision. You know, we can travel with people up to a certain point, but eventually there's going to be that divide. And so eventually these two camps separate. And after the separation, God gives the covenant of circumcision to Abraham. Lot's house was never circumcised. And if you take a look at the end of Lot, how does he end up? He's saved so as by fire. He has nothing. He has the shirt on his back. He ends up with nothing. And, you know, you can see this in a large segment of Christianity. I mean, the New Testament attests to the fact that Lot was saved. But he's a picture of somebody who is saved so as by fire, and he has nothing. There's no inheritance for him. And I'll make a few comments on that later on. Many times we have tried to draw a contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the main difference was the difference between the physical and the spiritual. All of the physical truths of the Old Testament kind of translate into spiritual terms in the New Testament, from the physical birth to the spiritual birth. Physical offspring, spiritual offspring. Physical circumcision, spiritual circumcision. You can help me on this. Physical journey, physical inheritance, physical enemies, physical warfare, physical weapons, physical temple, physical priesthood, physical sacrifices. I think you got the point, right? That's the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. But I want to emphasize the fact that the New Testament seed of Abraham, those born of faith, also have to experience a spiritual circumcision of heart and spirit. And I also want to emphasize the fact that the spiritual offspring, the church, must have a greater realization of the promises given to Abraham than the Old Testament seed. The church has to complete the vision, come into the greater blessing that Abraham saw from a distance, greater realization of this than the natural seed. Now, in the book of Galatians, Paul draws a contrast between the natural seed and the spiritual seed. You know, Abraham was promised two seeds, right? As the sand of the sea, that's the physical, the earthy seed, natural Israel. And as the stars of the heaven, and that's the spiritual seed, and that's the church. And the greater promises were not to the physical seed, to Ishmael, but to the Isaac, the spiritual seed. Amen? The greater promises were to the spiritual seed, not to those born of the flesh, natural Israel, but to the Isaac, those who are born of faith. Now, as you will recall, Paul contrasts Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was contrived by the flesh, wasn't he? And Isaac was born through an act of faith. Sarah is 90 years old. She's beyond capability of, you know, bearing a child. But Abraham believed God, and this child was born of faith. Right? Sarah's 90 years old. Abraham's almost 100. So Isaac was born through an act of faith. Now, let's look into Galatians again. And chapter 4 and verse 28. 4:28. It says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." This is to the church. Paul is addressing the church. And the fact that we become Abraham's children through faith in Christ. He's the connecting place. We connect with Abraham by believing in Christ, by faith in Christ. Of course, Christ was of the lineage, of Abraham. But that's how we connect. Amen? Our faith in Christ connects us back to Abraham. And actually, the church is the Isaac. The greater promises are to the spiritual seed, the heavenly seed. Amen. And we are heirs according to the promise. Now, the apostle brings this to our attention a few times in the book of Galatians. So let's look at, back up to chapter 3 in Galatians for a minute. Galatians 3 and verse 7. It says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." That's us, right? We're the children of Abraham, the spiritual seed. And then going down to verse 9, Galatians 3:9. "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." That's us. And then dropping down to verse 29, Galatians 3:29. "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We're heirs of the promises given to Abraham, the greater promises given to Abraham. And actually, the promises given to Abraham were compounding over the generations. They compounded in Isaac, Jacob, and they're becoming greater as it goes down. In fact, Joseph is a prime example of this. He's an example of one who's getting the compounded blessings of his father. It's passing down. Every generation picks up a greater blessing that keeps passing down. So it's the last day church that really has to see the fullness of everything that Abraham saw from a distance. So let's look into Genesis 49 for a minute. Genesis 49 and verse 26. And this is Jacob speaking to his son. And he says, "The blessings of thy father," talking about himself, "have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be upon the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren." So there was a compounded blessing that was coming down from Abraham to his son, to Isaac and Jacob, and passed down to Joseph. But I really believe that the blessing of God has been compounding, and that the last day church has to see the fullness of everything that Abraham saw from a distance. I know sometimes we magnify the end times about, you know, some of the horrors that are coming, but what the church really can't see is the last day church is going to see the fullness of blessing, blessed beyond what any generation has ever seen before. Amen. So this church, this last day church, the one that is going up is called blessed and holy. Blessed. I think some of these people have been borrowing some of my scripture verses here. I think Brother Ted was using this verse last night. He must have looked into some of my notes here. But in Revelation 20 and verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection." You know, that's why we have to have the blessing of God if we're going to be a part of this. And this word, blessed, means supremely blessed. And it's not just for those who have already passed on. It's talking about resurrection. It's talking about those who are alive, too, because it's a glorious church without spot or blemish. It's a circumcised church that's going up. Amen? We want to have a part of the marriage supper, and I'm telling you, not everybody's going to be there that's in the church. It's those who have allowed God to circumcise their hearts. We want to be a part of that. But that word blessed means exactly that and carries over into many dimensions. I believe the Last Day Church has to fully express the blessings promised to Abraham. They were to be realized through his seed, as it says in the faith chapter, as we heard last night. These men of faith saw something from a distance. They believed in it, and they were accounted as though they had attained, but they did not. We have to fulfill what they saw from a distance. We fulfill that. So let's look into Hebrews 11 again, back to the faith chapter. They saw them from a distance. We have to fulfill what they saw. Let's look at it. Hebrews 11, 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Abraham saw these things from a distance, but we have to complete the vision. Amen? Are you with me here? They, without us, cannot be complete. We have to complete what they saw. So, I mean, we don't have time to rehearse all the promises. I want to look at a couple of them, however. And let's go back to Genesis 17 again. Genesis 17, 6 is one of the blessings. It says, "And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." The church has to fulfill this. And it's going to be the Last Day Church that sees the full expression, exceeding fruitfulness. It's going to be a glorious church. Great increase is coming. Kings shall come of thee. And I believe that's part of our call as a fellowship, to raise up kings and priests. They're not just born, they're developed. And, you know, God has given us the privilege of going to many places and giving them a vision of the throne and the call, and as we heard this morning, to rule and reign in the millennium. That's not going to be every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's reigning in the millennium. It's those who have allowed God to circumcise their hearts and go through the procedure. Amen? You know, our fellowship, as small as we are, we've seen a token of this. We've seen an earnest of this. And even our own little church there in Erie, I mean, over the years, we've probably touched probably around 45 nations. I mean, I'd say touched. I mean, we've had the privilege of going there, preaching there, had seminars and things like that from out of our little church. But I believe we're going to see a great mushrooming of this before it's all over. I mean, we've planted little here and there, little seeds here and there, but it's gonna develop into something that's real. Remember, we're the children of promise. These promises kept passing down, but we're the children of promise. We're the Isaac of God. And Sarah also is given promises too. Whose daughters ye are, if ye do well. And God promised that nations and kings would come from her as well. But we don't want to forget the fact that these promises are conditioned on this ritual of circumcision. And we're talking about circumcision of heart and spirit. Let's look at another promise here in Genesis 22, 17. It says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now here's a promise that we need to see come to pass. Because the reason we're not seeing a lot of revival is because There are principalities that are holding things back, and I realize it's God's timing, but these principalities have to come down. There has to be a releasing of the spirit of might, and that's a promise that has been given to Abraham's seed, that they shall possess the gate of the enemy. So it has to come to pass, and it has to come to pass in our day. We've got to see these principalities removed so that revival comes. You know, as a fellowship here, we have never seen a real breakthrough yet. And in Scripture, Zion was the last, that was the final breakthrough. And once they had that breakthrough, they had dominion over all the nations, didn't they? In fact, we heard it in prophecy this morning, that here's David, he's sitting on Mount Zion, and the Lord says, now ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for an inheritance. And so we haven't really seen that breakthrough yet, but it's coming, and it's got to be pretty close, too. So when we have our breakthrough, we're going to see things dramatically change, and it's coming, and I'd like to believe that something is coming rather suddenly here. But Zion speaks of the firstborn blessing that got the double. So God has given us many promises that have not come to pass yet. Health and cure is one of them. We need to see a wave of healing. You know, I'm not opposed to the blessing message. It's just, you know, what is being omitted is the conditions to be blessed. And we want to meet the conditions to be blessed. Amen. Health and cure and promise of great multiplication and blessing and fruitfulness and blessing. I will bless thee. And even Moses, he reiterates these promises of blessing, and yet they're conditional. He talks about a blessing that shall overtake thee. You can't keep up with it. It's so great. But it's still conditioned. If, as it says in Deuteronomy 28:2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So on that point, nothing has changed. We need the blessing of God in order to fulfill the commission. You know, it's like the psalmist said in Psalm 67, Lord, bless us that we might take thy saving health to the nations. We need to have the blessings of God just to fulfill the commission. We have to be blessed. Amen? Can you use a blessing? We need to see a breakthrough. And I believe that it is coming. But we want to be blessed, not to feather our nest. We want to be blessed so that we can take his saving health to the nations of the earth. I need to draw this to a close, but I want to consider the thought of the promised land. So we in the church age are not necessarily called to inherit the land from the Euphrates to the Nile. That's reserved for natural Israel, and it comes to pass in the millennium. They have to fulfill that because God promised that to his seed from the Euphrates to the Nile, so it comes to pass. For us, the meek shall inherit the earth. Amen? And there are going to be cities and governorships given in the millennium for God's people. It's the meek that inherit the earth. And we want to have a part of that millennial reign. We want to have a part of the marriage supper. I mean, as I said earlier, the children of Lot are not going to have a part of the marriage supper in the millennial reign. Some of them might be here, but they're not going to be reigning. The glorious bride that's going up has been circumcised in heart and spirit. So today's blessing and prosperity message is kind of the message that attracts the children of Lot. That's what attracted Lot. You know, he was looking at the earthy. And his offspring turned out to be more of a plague to Abraham's seed, as some of the children of Lot are today, preaching another message. But let's embrace the true blessing message. We want to see the blessing of God, and we want to allow God to do what's necessary in our lives so that we can see that blessing come to pass. It says of Abraham that after he had patiently endured, he received the promise. Just two more verses here. In Hebrews 6:13, it says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." That's immutable. That's an immutable promise. There are conditional promises, not this one. This was immutable. Saying, "Surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You know, our pastor Bailey, I heard him say one time that he saw the blessing of God coming on the church and he trembled. Now, I can't really relate to that, but it's actually scriptural. You see in Jeremiah 33 where they tremble for the goodness that God was going to bring. And it's coming. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, the good things that God has prepared for those who wait for him." And I believe that, you know, those who have been faithful, they're going to see that. And as this was said today, it's here. I believe it. Something is going to take place. It's going to happen. We want to be encouraged. We used to sing that little chorus, "Abraham's blessings are mine." I don't think most of the younger, the Joshua generation probably doesn't know that chorus, but we in the older generation do. But God reserves his best for the last. Amen? How many feel they need to see a blessing come upon their church? Amen. Well, Lord Jesus Christ, you gave these promises to Abraham and to his seed and to the Isaac whom we are. And we need to see blessing come upon the church that we can fulfill the mission and fulfill the commission. And Lord, we pray for a blessing today, that you will just bless your people and begin to meet the needs here in a way that we've never known before. We pray for that multiplication, that you will give us that breakthrough that we need, and that principalities will be removed, and we shall see the fullness of everything that Abraham saw from a distance. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Amen. Amen. God bless you.